Good to see everybody this morning. Thanks for braving the massive South Dakota snow. All 1/32nd of it. But it is good to see everybody. And Luke, you did a fine job this morning. So I'm proud of you, wherever he is. I saw him run back that way. Good job. And I appreciate all our boys that have been taking a turn reading scripture. That's just an awesome thing. And you know, John 3:16, probably one of the most, if not the most, recognized scriptures on the planet, really sets, it kind of sets the framework for our text today in Mark. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. That he gave his son to die for you and for me. Everything we're going to read in our text this morning is informed. It is infused. It encapsulates the very essence of because God so loved. Just to set the context again, Jesus has gone through two different trials. He has gone through the trial with the Jews. He's gone through a pseudo trial with Pilate and then Herod and then Pilate again. Pilate wanted to release him. Don't ever forget, Pilate could find nothing wrong with Jesus. He has been handed over by Pilate for crucifixion to a centurion and his men. Those men have put a purple robe around him. They have woven together a makeshift crown made out of thorns, and they have pressed that into his head. And while wearing that crown of thorns embedded in his scalp and wearing that crown, the soldiers take turns slapping at him and hitting him and spitting at him and taunting him. The robe has been removed and the crown has been left. Most likely his arms have been outstretched and tied to a wooden cross member that will make the final piece of the cross. And he's led out of the praetorium on his way to Golgotha. Most Sundays, I would ask you to get your Bible opened and follow along. I really don't want you to do that this morning.
Okay.
I just want you to sit there and listen. Listen to God's word, and as you hear it, I want you to try, in your mind's eye, I want you to try to see Jesus. I just want you to see him. If you'll indulge me, I'll read it for us. Mark chapter 15. Just hear and see our Lord. See the love. See God. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. And because God loves you so much, they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated the place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink. But because he loves you so much, he didn't take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now, this was about the third hour, or 9 a.m. And because God loves you, they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above him, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scriptures were fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." Because God loves you so much, he stood by and watched as those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who destroy the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross." Jesus could have. But because he loves you so much, he stayed. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others. He himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. And God allowed it to happen because he loves us so much. Now when the sixth hour had come, around noon, there was darkness all over the whole land, until the ninth hour, around 3 p.m. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which translated means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, God had, because God loves you so much. Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he's calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine to deaden the pain. They put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. Some said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to take him down." And then as a result, for his immense love for you, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and he breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw, he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Do you see Jesus? Do you see God's love? It's all there. It's all there. Do you see the Son of God? You know, that's an interesting phrase in the book of Mark, the Son of God. It's only used three times. On three occasions. Excuse me. The very first time we hear the word Son of God is from Mark himself. In the very first chapter, in the very first verse. Remember, we started this entire thing off. Mark said this is the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And understand, that's all Mark has wanted us to see. Through this entire process, all Mark has been trying to get us to see is Jesus. He's pointed to him, he's talked about him, he's described his servanthood, his humanity, his deity. He said, "See Jesus, the Son of God." The next time we hear that phrase, it doesn't even come from a human. It comes from a demon. It comes from an unclean spirit who sees Jesus for who he really is. And the demons in chapter 3, verse 11, it said, and whenever, or the unclean spirits, whenever they came or whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." Even when Peter is asked, remember the faithful story, Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter doesn't say, now I know Matthew and some of the others may record it differently, but Mark says Peter's answer was, "You are the Messiah. You're the one promised to Israel," but Peter doesn't say, "You are the Son of God." It's only until we get all the way to chapter 15 do we have a human who acknowledges, "I see Jesus. And I see him for who he is, the Son of God." And the first one to recognize that and publicly confess that is a pagan Roman soldier. What does that say? Those who followed him didn't. Those who heard him didn't. But this man, there was something in how Jesus died. This Roman centurion, a man who's probably presided over hundreds, if not thousands, of these executions. He's seen men die for years. He's been a response. He's heard their screams. He's heard their pleas for mercy. He's heard their families surrounded, wailing. This is not his first rodeo. He's been there, done that. He's seen it. But today was different. His centurion was able to see through everything else, to see through the insults offered by the others, even those offered by the two thieves on either side, to see through the commotion of that event, of that day, to see through the darkness that had pervaded the land for three. He was able to see through it all and see Jesus for who Jesus was, and to declare, in a way that could cost him his livelihood, his job, maybe even his life, truly, this man was the Son of God. What a statement. He saw him. My question is, do you see him? Do you see him? And do you see him as not a literary figure, And not as a really good teacher, and not as a, well, he's a really good moral guy that taught some really neat stuff. You can see him that way. But do you see him as the Son of God? You see, because how you see him will affect everything. Because if he is the Son of God, and you see him as the Son of God, then you must respond to him as the Son of God, not just some little teacher, not just some good guy, not just some guy who wrote a book. No, the Son of the Creator of the universe died on a cross for you. John 3:16, reimagined for us, says simply this, "For God so loves you." It's easy to talk about the world. Let's talk about me. I could take it even down further. For God so loved Ken, right? That's how you need to read this verse. That he gave his only begotten son and finish it. Why? Not just gave. He gave his son to die on a cross in my place. And he says, and if you believe in him as the Son of God, okay, you don't have to perish. You don't have to die eternally. You can have eternal life. You see, because if I see him as the Son of God, then I also acknowledge what he's done for me and what that means. Understand, what we just read from Mark, Jesus going to the cross, Jesus being crucified, Jesus having nails driven into his hand and into his feet, hoisted up. He did that not for some sinner somewhere else down the road, not for a bunch of pagans who live across the water. He did that for you, and he did that for me. And understand this, it doesn't matter if you acknowledge that he did or not. He still died for you. That's true. Whether you ever accept the fact that Jesus died for you, he died for you. Whether you ever believe the fact that Jesus died for you, he died for you. Whether you ever respond to the fact that Jesus died for your sins, he died for you anyway. He wasn't selective. Why? Why did he do any of it? For God so loved me. That's why. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. Understand. What we just read should have happened to me. Should have happened to you, but it didn't. God loves you and I too much to allow that to happen. So the question you have to answer is simply this: in light of what he did for you, have you committed your life to him? How are you going to respond to that? Like the centurion, are you ready to make the same statement a pagan Roman centurion made? Are you ready to say, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to commit your life to following Jesus, turning from your sin, living as he wanted to live because he died for you? Are you ready to do that? Are you prepared to surrender your will and participate in his death, his burial, and his resurrection in Christian baptism? Are you prepared to do that because of what he did for you? Not to earn your salvation, but simply because it's already been provided for you. You see, how you see Jesus will define how you answer those questions. If I see Jesus as the Son of God, then me proclaiming that, confessing that, is no big deal. If I see Jesus as the Son of God, I have no problem following him in my life. I have no problem repenting of my sins, turning away from those things. Why? Because he's the Son of God. I have no problem surrendering myself in baptism if he's the Son of God. Why? Because the Son of God himself asks for it. I don't have to justify it. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to theologize it. All I have to say is simply this: you know what? The creator of the universe said I needed to do this. Enough said. If I see him as the Son of God, then it's not an issue. You see? And then, if I see him as the Son of God, I will live faithfully every day of the rest of my life, anticipating a day when he will come back and take me to be with him forever. It's no problem when I see him as the Son of God. My question for you: are you ready to see him that way? Are you ready to become a follower of Jesus? If you are, awesome. But maybe you're already a follower of Jesus, but you've allowed this world, the trials of this life, all the junk that surrounds us every single day to blur your vision from keeping you from seeing Jesus for who he is in your life every day. Maybe you need that. Maybe you need help clearing up your eyes so you can just see Jesus. Because understand this, folks. That is what we're about. When you strip it all down, when you strip it all down to its very bare essentials, it's not about songs and grape juice and crackers and prayers and pews and buildings. It's not about any of that stuff. What it's all about is seeing Jesus. And I hope and I pray that everything we do as a body of Christ, points us and clears our vision and wipes the fog off our glasses so that we can see Him clearly. Because if we're not seeing Jesus, what's the point? What's the point? This morning, we're going to sing a song. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? It's an awesome song. Man, the first time I remember singing it was at Burt Cabin when I was like 6, 7 years old. Okay? I think it's the third verse where it talks about Jesus on the cross. I want you to pay special attention to the words you're singing as well. Because in the words, even of the songs we sing, we see Jesus. Because there's nothing more important. Nothing more important. And if right now there's something in your head that has got you thinking something other than Jesus, get it out of your mind. That's probably Satan. We come here together as family to see Jesus. We come around this table to celebrate and see Jesus. How's your vision this morning? You need it cleared up? Whatever you need, let us know as we stand, as we sing.